I'll get right into it. I have a lot of material that I'd like to cover, a lot of points, and a lot of information, so we'll go ahead and dive right into it. Our lesson this morning is going to be on elders and members, and the members' responsibilities to the elders, on behalf of the elders. They need our help. In order for them to do their work effectively, we need to recognize and realize what our responsibilities are to them as elders, and that they, in order for their work to truly be effective here, we need to support them. We need to be behind them, but we need to do so in a biblical way. We need to find what the Bible says our responsibilities are to them, and we need to meet that. So with that said, we need to realize that this church is only going to be as strong as our willingness to support our eldership. The duties of this church toward them are no less important than their responsibilities toward us. A lot of times the focus is on what the elders should be doing. What is the elder doing? What is his wife doing? What is their family doing? Let's make sure that their house is in order. But we also need to make sure that our responsibilities to them is being met as well. It is always our prayer that we would be ready and willing to know our duty towards the elders. And that's what this lesson would seek to do. If we are to have a peaceful and effective working church, then we need to know what our duty is to them as God has bound it. So let's begin with our first responsibility to our elders. And that is, let's not overlook the obvious, to know our elders. We have to know our elders. We need to be well acquainted with these men. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Look at verse 12. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 12. That it says, in verse 12, "We urge you, brethren, to recognize those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you." He tells us to recognize them, to know them. And we need to understand that we should feel free at any time to go to any one of them with a personal problem, for personal advice, for spiritual instruction, whatever it is. Excuse me. We should feel like we can go to them because that's what they're there for. They're there to help us. They're there to make us better and build us up, make us stronger. They have a lot of qualifications to meet. And those qualifications are there for a reason. Because they are capable of handling what we need them to handle. To know implies much more than just to be acquainted with them. We need to acknowledge their status and respect them for the qualifications that they have met, for the type of men that they are. Various translations say recognize, give recognition, and appreciate in this section right here. The mark of success in any local church is to know each member and for each member to know their elders. If we can do that, we are already putting ourselves in such a better position to approach the world, much less each other, that if we can know who our elders are and know them, their goals for this church. I'm going to present a lesson soon on resolutions. This is my favorite time of the year, by the way, as far as that goes. I love beginning again. I love setting those goals and working towards those goals. Find out what their resolutions are for this church. That is to know them. Go to them and talk with them. What are their spiritual goals for this group? That's part of knowing them. Seek that out. That is our first responsibility to them. And secondly, it's to esteem them highly in love. We find this in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 13. It's in the same passage. Let's look at it in verse 13. It says, "To esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, be at peace among yourselves." That we have to esteem them very highly. That means that those who have been entrusted with the care of the souls of this church deserve honor. They deserve respect. And we should not only are we commanded to give it to them, but we should want to. We should want to do that for them. To esteem them. There's four thoughts with this in this passage. To esteem means to recognize them as the leaders, that we would recognize them as the head of this congregation, that they are the ones who are to direct where it is to go from here, that we should recognize them as the leaders. Unless we recognize them in this way, we can hardly render a worthy and good work. We will not be successful in that. We should esteem them very highly. And that means that we should hold those leaders not only as leaders, but leaders in the highest degree. We need to understand that it is not enough just to casually think of them as, oh, well, they're the elders, they're the leaders. So whatever they say, that's not the correct attitude. Esteeming them very highly means thinking of them more as just, well, they're the leaders, but it holds them in the very highest regard. It is an honor. It is a respect that we should be giving. We need to esteem them very highly in love. Nothing really counts in the Christian faith unless it is done in love. And you can see 1 Corinthians 13, 1 through 8, for that point, that unless we have love with what we are doing, it is not going to be effective. It is meaningless in the eyes of God, and therefore it is worthless in the eyes of God. If we will esteem them highly in love, we're bound to have great success. And this is also done for their work's sake. It's done for their work's sake. The degree and honor, and this degree of honor and respect due to the elders, is because of the noble work they do for us. Their concern is for your soul. That deserves, by itself, that deserves respect. But the fact that they do this day in and day out, that they are a phone call away at any point, at any time, because you expect them to, because it's their responsibility to you, because of that fact, we should hold them very highly in love for their work's sake. That is your second responsibility to the eldership. Men delight in serving those who they love. Christians cannot do much for those, cannot do too much, rather. They cannot do too much for those who are watching their souls. Don't just regard them as, well, they're the leaders. Regard them highly and hold them in respect. Hold them in honor. Most of us will never know. We will never know the hours that these men will spend in prayer and service to this church. We can probably not even begin to fathom the work they've done in the past year and a half to 2 years. We probably can't even fathom from that alone. So let's be mindful of them and esteem them very highly in love, for their work's sake. And following the same thought, we need to be at peace among ourselves. In the same passage, it says, esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. Be at peace among yourselves. Why do you think he adds a note about us being at peace amongst ourselves in a discussion about elders? Because in order for them to do their work effectively, do you know what we have to do? We have to get along. We have to treat one another with respect. We have to be able to resolve differences and disagreements in civil ways. And if we're going to argue, if we're going to divide, and we're going to attack each other, devour each other, as Galatians would talk about it, that's going to be our approach towards our brethren. We understand from the passage, we make the work that much harder on our eldership. We make their jobs much more difficult. The effectiveness of the congregation depends upon the harmony and the unity of its members. Not unity for unity's sake, because we should not do that at the expense of the truth, obviously. But we do need to pursue harmony. We need to pursue unity. Again, I cannot stress this enough. We greatly aid the work of our elders when we prefer peace and unity instead of having our own opinion, our own preference heard. If we are willing to make peace with one another, we make their work so much easier. We should pride ourselves on being a church that is at peace with one another, that is unified. We should let them be proud of that fact, that they can tell other people, you should come visit. This is a friendly group. This is a group that gets along. Allow them to say that about us. allow them that honor to say that. And then finally, again, this is not to be understood that we should pursue unity at any cost. This is not unity at any cost. And we can see that throughout the Bible. That we are not to pursue this to the end that we abandon the truth. As they are to be apt to teach, they're going to insist that we teach the truth. And that truth may bring up some disagreement from time to time, but that's when we need to go to the Bible and seek to understand what it is indeed saying. What is it teaching us? We cannot seek peace to the point of compromising with evil or with false doctrine. So we need to keep that in mind. This is not saying be at peace amongst yourself regardless of the cost. We also find our third responsibility is to obey and be submissive to the elders. Fourth responsibility. Obey and be submissive to the elders. In Hebrews 13, listen to what it says in Hebrews chapter 13. I want you to look at verse 17 with me. Hebrews 13 and verse 17. It says, obey those who rule over you and be submissive. Obey those who rule over you and be submissive, for they watch out for your souls as those who must give account. Let them do so with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable for you. Amen to that. If we are unwilling to submit to them, to obey them, and follow what they say, then we only make things that much worse for ourselves. And that's recognizing what the purpose of the eldership is. Remember, he's identifying these, you know this is elders, because he would say, not only do they rule over you, but they watch out for your souls. They have to give an account for you. That's their responsibility. So, let's make their work easier for them. We need to submit to them. We need to comply with their wishes. They cannot do this unless members will obey them. They cannot do this effectively. We need to be willing to submit to them so their work is easier. If we don't do that, it only makes it that much harder on them. This may mean we must forgo our own choices, our own wishes, our own desires. It just might mean that. But spiritually, we need to yield to their decision for this congregation. It does not matter what other congregations do or what other churches are doing. Their responsibility is to this church. And so, us as a membership, what is our responsibility to them? It is to obey and submit to that. We need to let their decisions prevail over ours. And if they do not believe something is spiritually a good idea for this group, we need to respect that. We need to submit to that decision. While the eldership can benefit from wise counsel given by the membership, the final decision still falls to the eldership. It is their right. It is the final say for the actions of the church. Whatever that may be, it falls to them. We can counsel them. If you deem yourself wise enough to counsel some of the wisest among us. If you believe that is the case and you think there's something that needs to be brought to their attention, by all means, do so. But understand, the final say still lies with them. We need to obey them and submit to them. Along the same lines, we need to remember and imitate them as well. We need to imitate them. We should obey them. We should be submissive to them. But we need to imitate them. In Hebrews 13 and verse 7, it says this, remember those who rule over you who have spoken the word of God to you, whose faith follow, considering the outcome of their conduct. One of the things that we can do to make ourselves stronger is to look at them. Again, they have met some pretty lofty qualifications. I can't think of anything else that has as long a list of qualifications as the eldership. And with that in mind, they have to live their lives in a very strict way to meet such qualifications. If the church would imitate that, if each member would follow its elder in its as an example, think of how much stronger we would be if we all would follow that example. To remember the elders means to be mindful of their instruction, their counsel, and their personal example of godly conduct. If we will follow them in their behavior, if we imitate them in life, we will be that much stronger spiritually. Recognize this. We expect a lot from these men, do we not? I've never been to a congregation with elders where they didn't expect quite a lot from them. They expect them to be here, not on time, they expect them to be here early. They expect their families to be present and they expect a lot of these men. They expect them seemingly never to stumble in any point. We expect a lot from them. Understand this, though, that if we would follow that example, how much better would we be? How much stronger would we be if we would imitate that faith? I submit to you, we would grow spiritually and numerically if we would imitate their faith. If we refuse to imitate them, we sin against God. Let's not miss the point. He is telling us to imitate their faith, to follow their conduct. If we fail to do such, we would sin against God. How can elders be successful as good examples to the flock when the flock won't follow the pattern? It's not going to work. It's not going to be possible. We have the responsibility to count elders worthy of double honor. That we should, again, not only hold them in high regard, hold them in high esteem, but the elders who rule well in word and doctrine are to be given another kind of honor in addition to the normal honor given. The word honor itself means to fix the value or price upon, that you are valuing, you are almost setting a price on how beneficial they are to us. This honor in particular has to do with financial support. Because the same reference is used in 1 Corinthians 9:9 with respect to the support of preachers. I want you to look at the passage with me, 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 17. 1 Timothy 5 and verse 17. In 1 Timothy 5, in verse 17 he says this, "Let the elders who rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in the word and doctrine. For the scripture says, 'You shall not muzzle an ox while it treads out the grain, and the laborer is worthy of his wages.'" Again, this is the same quotation that you find in 1 Corinthians 9 and verse 9. And we know that it's discussing financial support, and we know they can be paid for their work, because in 1 Timothy 3. And in verse 3, one of the qualifications is that they would not be greedy for filthy lucre. That's not discussing gambling, that's discussing their payment, that they would not do this for the paycheck, but they are doing it to watch out for the souls of their congregation. That they had been paid in the past, and that they were worthy of that. The work of the elders is local in scope, and of course it needs to be considered on an individual basis. In New Testament times, some elders were supported by the congregation for their labors, especially when they preached the gospel, but not limited to that. We need to understand then that one of our responsibilities is to make sure that they are cared for. We've seen in Galatians 6 and verse 6 in our Bible class that those that are taught the word should see to the needs of a spiritual teacher, and that most certainly includes our elders. That we need to be seeing to their financial needs as well. We find as well, we have another requirement, that we should not receive accusations against elders lightly. We should not receive it lightly. In 1 Timothy 5, 1 Timothy 5, look at verse 19. It says in verse 19, do not receive an accusation against an elder except from two or three witnesses. That we should, because of the quality of men that we get to work with, that we imitate, whenever someone brings an accusation against them, we need to treat it as idle gossip if it's not confirmed by two or three witnesses. We should not take it and spread it. We should cut it off where it is. Our elders are worthy of that kind of respect. Unless the elder is at fault and it has been established by two or three witnesses, we should treat it as hearsay. You need to treat it with contempt if you hear anything bad about your elders. Unless, again, it's confirmed. And even if it is confirmed, even if the elder is confirmed to be at fault, any rebuke should be done with respect to his station as an elder. You should still do so with respect. As it says in the passage in verse 20, those who are sinning rebuke in the presence of all, that the rest also may fear. Although they are to be rebuked, and it should be in the presence of all, it should be done with respect and with honor. In verse 1 of 1 Timothy 5, do not rebuke an older man, but exhort him as a father, younger men as brothers, older women as mothers, younger women as sisters, with all purity. That although he would include each and every group of member in there, the elders would fall into that category of the older men. Don't rebuke them, but exhort them. They make mistakes the same as other Christians. But if they're the kind of elders they should be, they need only to be told of their errors to correct them. We need not hold them on a pedestal where if they so much as sin, it's game over for them. Because that's holding them to a standard of which they cannot meet. And we need not put them on such an unattainable pedestal. They are going to make mistakes from time to time. What we need not do is gossip about it. What we need not do is spread it around, especially if it is untrue. We need not slander our eldership. We need to, finally, call the elders when in need. In James chapter 5 and verse 14, James 5 and verse 14, James 5 and verse 14. It says, is any among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church, and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. Members of a local church need to inform the elders when they have needs. And not necessarily spiritual in nature. This is a physical illness that this person was suffering from. We know that because in verse 15, the prayer of the faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. That's two separate things. The sickness and the sinfulness are two separate things here. So he's not discussing, are you spiritually sick? He's discussing a physical ailment. What does it say to do? Get a hold of the elders. Why? Because they not only have a concern for your soul, but they have a love for you, a concern for you. So whenever you need something, get a hold of them. That's what they're there for. They're there to help in whatever way they can. It almost seems like many church members today, seems like they enjoy keeping matters from the elders and then trying to hold that over them whenever they didn't do anything to assist the member in need. But I assure you, if you'll let them know, they will do everything they can to meet that need. That is hypocritical to try and hold them accountable for something you never told them about. We have got to get a hold of them if we need their help. If we want them to know about something, we ought to get a hold of them. We ought to communicate with them. That goes along with our first point of knowing our elders and spending time with them and esteeming them. It's not just to know their names and their faces. It's to know their wishes, their goals, what they would do for you if you needed it. That's part of knowing them. And this is what we should do whenever the need arises. Get a hold of them. They're there for you. Most of the weakness in the ministration to the sick is due to the neglect of the members rather than the elders. if you'd let the elders know about your needs, I think you'll find that you have better and more efficient elders than you thought. I firmly believe they would be there for you, regardless of how small the need was. I have a feeling you'd be surprised in what all they could do for you. We need to know our elders. We need to esteem them highly in love. We need to be at peace among ourselves. We need to obey and be submissive to the eldership. We need to remember and imitate them. We need to count them worthy of double honor. We need to avoid any accusation that is not confirmed by two or three witnesses. And we need to call the elders when we are in need. All too often we focus on the responsibilities of the elders. And yes, they have responsibilities, most certainly. And in fact, there is a sermon on that coming. On behalf of the elders, they've asked me to do that. But we need to understand that we most certainly have a responsibility towards them as well. And in order for them to do their job well, we have got to be doing ours. And I haven't spent a whole lot of time on the plan of salvation today. But if you've heard God's word and you know what you need to do to be saved, then you need not put that off any longer. If you believe it, would you obey it? If you would obey it, would you continue to obey Him? He asks that you would repent of your sins, that you would turn away from them and do them no more. Yes, we are going to stumble, but He's made provision for that. Would you confess Him before men, as Romans 10, 9 and 10 discusses, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation? If you do that, would you submit to Him and baptize, or in baptism, just as Peter points out in Acts chapter 2 and verse 38? Whenever he's asked, men and brethren, what shall we do? The answer was not, well, you need to pray because you are a sinner, so say your sinner's prayer. The way he answered them was to say, you need to repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus for the remission of your sins. That is, for the removal of your sins, in order to have your sins removed. You must be baptized. Not before that happens our sins removed. It is only at baptism that they are removed. At that point, if you've counted the cost, you know that you need to attend regularly with the saints to be uplifted and built up every day. You need to worship God in the correct way. If you're willing to do all of this, you need to act on it. Maybe you're a Christian and you realize you haven't been, pertaining to the lesson, maybe you haven't been treating the elders the way you should. Maybe you haven't been utilizing all of the advantages, the multitude of advantages that we gain by having an eldership. If you haven't been doing so and you'd like the prayers of the congregation or want to address anything of a public matter, feel free to make that known. Whatever the need is, that's not only what the elders are here for, but that's what we're all here for as well, is to rely on one another. Whatever your need is, please come. While we stand, while we sing, I want you to come. Make your life right with God.